starts right now.
We believed in Joe Hendry.
We do. Not enough to get him to number one, though.
I mean, yeah. We are wrestling fans at the end of the day.
True. Very true. How are we all this week?
Fantastic. Okay. How are you?
Yes, not bad. No, but not a, well, I say not a bad bank holiday weekend. It was because I got a flat tyre.
Oh. So that's what you get for buying part ones.
I got my tyres are brand new from my last MOT, and then we went to a child's birthday party. Don't worry, with my son, I didn't just go to a child's birthday party. And then on the way back, driving back, must have, it's not even a nail, it's like a steel rod. And I got
a 9-inch nail.
Hey, I got a low pressure, and I thought, oh, I'll go to the garage and fill it up, and all I can see was this big like metal rod sticking out of the tyre. So I thought, okay, no sweat. Apart from the fact it's going to cost like however much money, I'll get them out to the house. They'll change the tyre, no issues. Booked that on Saturday. They came this afternoon. Wrong tyre.
I bet that cost more than $2,024.
Oh yeah, of course it did. So now I'm going away on the weekend to the mother-in-law's. We're going on Friday, and I've had to rebook in for Thursday with hopefully the correct tyre. I mean, my head will be on the line if anything's wrong on Thursday. But other than that, a quality week. How about everyone else's?
It sounds like a right tail from the road. Yeah, good. I actually stayed up and I watched Backlash and like some.
You
and
did then, stay up. Yep.
Watched the snooker as well. Jack Last Jones from literally 5 miles away from where we live got through to the final, but he lost.
Just came up a bit short, didn't he, unfortunately. A good showing, though. A good showing. Yeah.
The Warrior is the silent assassin. Apparently, Kyron Wilson's a big wrestling fan, and John Cena follows him on Twitter. Or X.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. And Jamie couldn't be bothered to watch Backlash Live. Probably still hasn't even watched it because he was too busy in London.
Yes, I went to London to watch Cruel Intentions, the musical.
Did you not go to Comic-Con, or was that just the missus?
Mercedes went to Comic-Con Saturday, Sunday. I went to London on the Saturday, and then...
Was it not Comic-Con in London?
No, it's Comic-Con Liverpool.
Oh, so she went to Liverpool, you were to...
All of the Lord of the Rings people were there, weren't they?
Not all of them, but he's dead.
Yeah,
well, Bernard Hill was supposed to be there.
Listen, I'm sorry, you may have seen my post on Facebook to anybody who follows me, but I have no sympathy for a man who let 1,500 people die on the Titanic. I'm sorry, but, you know, the man had blood on his hands, as far as I'm concerned, that captain.
Did he not redeem himself with something to do with the orcs?
Yeah, my brother put something like that. He put, oh yeah, but he led an army of... I don't know, to defeat all the...
I'm not a Lord of the Ring person. I'm not elvish or anything like that. But you
more
know,
of a Trekkie, to be
fair. No, not at all.
More of a Trekkie?
It's hard enough. The worst one out of all of them.
I'm a Trekkie.
And I'm... I don't know what I'll be.
Taryn's a Ravenclaw.
A Ravenclaw. No, I am not a Ravenclaw because we've only established it's not real.
100 episodes ago.
I'm not in any house because it's not real.
I'm a Hufflepuff. Yes. Yeah, my wife, it's pretend Hufflepuff. I'm pretend Ravenclaw. It's not real, so it's not
you could
anyway.
Do the Fluffle. You could be a Fluffle while you listen to Olivia Rodrigo or whatever her name is.
I don't want to like burst your bubble, Taryn. But, you know, wrestling isn't real.
And we do a podcast about it. It's still real. It must be real. I watched it live at 6 p.m. UK time on Saturday.
Didn't watch SmackDown, though, did you?
I didn't watch SmackDown.
And you said 10 minutes before it ended, no spoilers. But funny enough, We Believe came up. No spoilers. There's 10 minutes left. I'm the only one who watched it live.
Yeah, no spoilers. Because No, I still didn't watch it. I think I just read the result because I knew nothing had really happened.
Just read the result.
Was on the next day.
Who reads the results? I mean, well, really?
I was just looking out for QR codes for Uncle Hello, which of course
there was
one
on NXT, but you didn't pick up on that because you don't watch NXT.
Well, there was one on Raw last night as well, but I haven't scanned it yet.
When Drew McIntyre got in his black sporty car and drove off, and then
Punk turned up
in his yellow old sporty car.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to tell some stories.
The one on Friday and then the one on actually at Backlash did have people talking because it came, if you scanned it, it came up with like a, well, it came up with a telephone number that if you're in the US, you could ring, and somebody uploaded the audio to X. So I listened to it, and it was like a distorted, girly AI type voice that was talking about family, and it was very
Hello, Detective Banks, I want to play a game.
Very, it was very similar to that voice, to be fair.
I think we're looking at the Wyatt Six, aren't we?
I think we are. And then, of course, it said, you believed, and one of the words glitched out, and it's to believe. So, yeah. And what was
believe.
The other?
Oh, and it kept, the evil is mine.
The evil is mine. It kept repeating the number 21 as well, and eagle-eyed viewers on Saturday were saying, oh, well, it's 21 days till Queen and King of the Ring, so... could they? I don't know if I'd want them to debut or return, whatever you want to call it, in Saudi Arabia. I'd much rather it just happen on Raw or in Europe. But
it's going to be to affect somebody. They're going to go in an immediate feud. So I don't know whether, say, for example, LA Knight gets a US title shot and they like to mess with LA Knight. Yeah, because that was Bray Wyatt's last feud, wasn't it?
So it was. Makes sense. It does, and it makes more sense. Oh, I think it makes more sense. I would prefer it over than them interrupting Damian Priest or especially Cody Rhodes, because if you're doing that, then you're straight away targeting like the two main men. So you're straight away targeting like one of the world titles, which they're never going to, especially Cody, he's never going to beat, so, you know, Cody for the world title this early on. And neither do I think, you know, with all due respect, Uncle Howdy, we still don't know about the character Uncle Howdy other than a couple of appearances towards the end of Bray Wyatt's last storyline. He's not an established character like Bray Wyatt.
For no reason. Well,
exactly. So
you can play as him in 2K24.
We should also just not be in the world title picture. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
Why doesn't he have a match against Dijak or Odyssey Jones?
Yeah, it's also weird to in the new WWE, where obviously, you know, TKO were like very sports-based, obviously, over the UFC. Triple H is very reality-based. I don't know how the Uncle Howdy character... Because obviously with Vince, he was more entertainment, where like Undertaker, like, you know, you had the Repo Man, you had all these characters, so it was kind of like more cartoon, but like now it's more reality-based. So like, I don't know how Uncle Howdy's going to get over like the more reality-based.
Yeah, but you look at it, they're action figures, aren't they? That you need that element of it, that bit of fun. You've got, like they said, with wrestling, it's different flavours of ice cream. There's a flavour of ice cream for everybody. And that's that comedy element that they always need.
You both make good points, and you do, Joey, you are right. It's going to be interesting how they balance it with this new era, the more reality side thing. I suppose the best way that I think that they could do it is, if you hark back to the Attitude Era, where that was quite reality-based in the fact of it being Jerry Springer-esque, that type of thing, you know, we come away from the characters, people were using their real names, that type of thing, and it was more lifelike, but then you still had The Undertaker, and you still have the Ministry of Darkness and that side of things. So if they balance it out like that, which is how I think they're going to do it, I think it will fit well. I'm just ready for them to debut now. I mean, who were the rumour names? I think it's more or less confirmed without being confirmed. So obviously Dexter Uncle Howdy, Dexter Lumis, which we've not seen him for, I think, a year next month.
Yeah, he's been on doing a TV show. Nikki Cross,
that's right.
Joe Gacy.
Which will be very interesting, because he was obviously doing that like cult leader following type thing.
So well, lately, past 6 months, he's been doing an unhinged gimmick where the camera's been flipping upside down and he's been fighting Sean Spears and he's been hiding under the ring and throwing chairs off the top of buildings and throwing himself into dumpsters. So he's been doing like wacky, crazy stuff.
So he can carry on doing that, or he can go back to a cult kind of thing. So there's two that you can do either there, can't he?
And you've got Eric Rowan as well.
Eric Rowan rumored to have re-signed as well, which is good. So yeah, I'm ready for them to debut. I'm just interested. I'm interested how they're going to bring them back, what they're actually going to do with them for the outset. Because let's not forget, it's not even, you know, once they return and they start a program with anyone, it's not even that for me. It's, well, what are they going to actually do after that? Do you know what I mean? Once the hype's kind of like gone down a bit, but also how they're going to honour Bray Wyatt without it being too Bray Wyatt-esque, because at the end of the day, with all due respect, he's not here anymore, and you can't. A bit like, you know, when Eddie Guerrero unfortunately passed away, and for the first couple of months, Ray was, you know, dedicating matches to him and keeping him, you know, keeping his spirit, no pun intended, alive, but without shoving it down your throat. So again, they need to find the balance with that. So,
well, they brought in the Three Amigos, didn't they, in the Frog Splash, and they're constantly still doing that now. So they're going to do a Sister Abigail finisher. That's going to be the move that all of them are going to adopt. And I think that's how they play Truby. And of course, the upside down moth, or whatever it is, their little logo. They could use the Firefly Funhouse as like a clubhouse almost. You know, you can see them having matches against the Final Testament, the LWO. There's loads of like good factions at the moment they really could have feuds with. So I think sky's the limit with, like, you know, they've got the paranormal element of it. You know, they could have feuds with the Judgment Day. They bring out Demon Finn Balor to face him. Loads of little stuff that they could do. I think the sky's the limit, and be exciting to see what they do.
Jamie, what do you want to see from the Wyatt Six? Do you think they'll debut at King and Queen of the Ring, or it'll be on Raw, or will they save it for Clash at the Castle?
I just want to go back to something Dan said earlier, and I like chocolate ice cream.
Fair enough. I like raspberry ripple ice cream.
Raspberry ripple.
I'm sorry, yeah. I've got a packet of donuts here.
Caramelized vanilla ice cream.
A packet of donuts. Vanilla ice cream.
Some ring donuts, and the cat has just been donuts. In it.
Is it Sainsbury's?
No, she just
Sainsbury's are the best donuts.
Sainsbury's five donuts. No, the blue packet.
Tesco.
Tesco. They're the second worst. Morrison's are the worst, then Tesco.
Sainsbury's, well, like the five rings when they're like, they get discounted to like 34p towards the end of the day, and you get five. It's beautiful.
But not according to one of my cats. She just loved it. She just shoved her head right in the bag, bit it, and pulled the donut out and ran off with it. I just grabbed her as she went past.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jamie.
Just in case you want to know, top of the donut tree. Yeah, Sainsbury's is up there, but also along with M&S. They're the two best donuts in the supermarket world.
I was going to say the supermarket world. I was going to say, like, no Krispy Kreme or no Dunkin' Donuts or anything like that. But yeah, sure, why not? Just supermarket.
Yes, like supermarket ones. Like, it's the same with mince pies. I can tell you where the best mince pies are at Christmas. I, you know, during the normal year, I can tell you where the best donuts are as well. I've surveyed them. In my head, I've got them ranked. So if ever you need to know, let me know.
We'll look forward to that on the Christmas episode. In terms of Wyatt Six, I don't know. Where would I want to see it happen? I would prefer it on a premium live event, just because more chance of watching it, right? Whereas if it's on Raw, you're just going to read about it the next day. You're just going to wake up on a random Tuesday morning and be like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll watch that on YouTube. Whereas if you've got a premium live event, you've got people watching, and you've got a buzz to talk about the next day on the Sunday. So I think it's going to happen then. In terms of Saudi Arabia, if it's going to happen there, they need something pretty cool to happen. It's Saudi Arabia. They'll be like, we want that Undertaker guy. So, you know, we've got to do something to kind of keep the Saudis happy and keep that money train going. So I'm sure they'll be happy to have the Undertaker Six, as they're probably going to call it. But, you know, I think it'll be fine. So, yeah, I think what we were talking about, there was Eric Rowan, there was Dexter Lumis, there's rumours of Nikki Cross, Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss, randomly, all three of them at one point. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I don't know what we're going to expect from it. I don't see him being like a massive, like, I think Dan, you were talking about Judgment Day or facing them in big team matches or anything like that. I think it's just going to be, I don't know what it's going to be. I'm intrigued to see what it will be. I'm happy for Bo to come back and do it for the boys.
No, you would just prefer if Bo Dallas came back to Bo Leave. That's what you would do.
We all need to Bo Leave, Taryn.
We do. Well, we will with Uncle Hello, Uncle Howdy himself. I am still going to call him Uncle Hello. I refuse to call him Uncle Howdy.
Uncle Bob.
We all know Howdy is another word for hello.
We do. And that article proved it. All we know is that nobody Bo believed at Backlash because he didn't return. However, we did have an event. We had Backlash in France. Mm. And there did only end up being five matches. however, and Jamie, I'm guessing you still haven't watched it.
When have I had time to watch it?
Very true.
On the train or the bus? Or
on the train?
Yeah.
How could I have watched it on the train?
How did that work?
on the, I don't have the network.
Oh yeah, oh. Yeah. The scabby Peacock. He's got the scabby.
I have Peacock TV, and he unfortunately, has a... you cannot VPN SIM card in your phone.
He has so the cock. He has a scabby it? Cock. That's what he has. So we can't watch it.
You could have had like an iPad or an Amazon Fire tablet or whatever they're called, and you could watch it on there.
Yeah, but then I have to carry that around in London with me. So, I mean, what's one of the points of that? But on the way to London, obviously, I did listen to the podcast. I listened to all the predictions of how predictable it's going to be and how excited you all were to watch that Tim Pot pay-per-view. So I look forward to sitting back and listening to you all talk about how shit the event was, but the fans made it better.
So I will start. Yes, as of last week, basically our backlash prediction show was more of a review of the draft and about 5 minute coverage of backlash because apart from one result chosen by Dad, everybody just went for the same thing, calling it the most predictable show. Was it the
Speaking of predictable, I won the quiz. I played along with the quiz and I won by a point, but unfortunately I wasn't there, so I didn't get it.
Days after.
Yes, I knew all the answers.
No, I got four. Definitely
no. You can't win. It's pretty embarrassing. You're actually on there, so.
It's pretty embarrassing when the winning score was like 3.
So, Backlash, predictable, 100% absolutely. One of the most entertaining shows, not just from an audience standpoint, but also a match and wrestling standpoint. Yes, I was really, really surprised. It was actually a very, very good wrestling event. And I came out of it not that bothered that it was such a predictable show because the quality of the matches, bar maybe one and the beginning of another, which then turned out to be very entertaining, I thought was a real high standard, and I didn't care by the end of the show that it was so predictable. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, exactly the same. I thought the French crowd absolutely brought it. There was pictures on Twitter of like people's Apple iWatches saying that the sound in the building was like bad for their health, and if they stayed any longer, it was going to have permanent hearing damage. They were literally like chanting from start to finish. They sang Randy Orton's theme tune word for word. They went nuts for like AJ Styles. They went nuts for Cody Rhodes. Loved it. As you said, like it was a mediocre card, but actually all of the matches, same as you, bar one, which was a bit botchy in the middle, I'm sure we'll get on to it, were really good standard of some matches. The main event, which I was like, I wasn't that bothered about, like AJ versus Cody, was actually really, really, really good. So yeah, it was a B pay-per-view with like a mediocre matches on paper. You would have thought I could probably skip this, but then when you actually watch it, like the match quality and then the crowd made up for it. So yeah, I agree with you.
What about yourself, Dan?
Yeah, to be fair, I loved it. I mean, when I watched SmackDown live, I thought, hang on a minute, this is electric, this is special. Like the matches, like the order that they came out was a bit weird, but the crowd were just going nuts. And the minute the AJ Styles said phenomenal, and the crowd started going, hey, phenomenal! And they started going, absolutely
la, la,
nuts.
La, 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 la. And he is phenomenal. La,
they had
la,
to keep
la,
changing
la, la.
What they were saying in the promo because the crowd would just be triggered by certain words. And there was one, two, it's simply two. And like all of the different ones. It was like, this is pretty cool. And there's talks of him going, I watched the press conference afterwards, there's talks of him going to cheer in Italy and the Stade de France in Paris and loads of other places that they could go to. I think it's great, and knowing that they could charge £350 for a cheap seat every single time, yeah, why not? They might as well keep making money, keep going touring. I could see them going somewhere like South Africa. I think that'd be pretty cool if they wanted to go on a couple different continents, maybe to the Tokyo Dome as well. Sky's the limit, but the event-wise, absolutely loved it, thoroughly enjoyed it all the way through. And it was on at 6, and it finished at 9. What more do you want in life?
Indeed, indeed.
There's only one place they need to go. And we spoke about it last time I was on the pod. They need to go to Uganda for the soft ground wrestling.
But with Lord White. It was Lord White, wasn't it?
Of course it's Lord White.
It was Lord White. I can't remember what he was called. I thought it was Lord White, yeah. Oh, I still need to go back and watch. Lord White. With the debuts of was it Masons, Mansour? That was it.
Yes, those Maximum Male Models.
My good lord. Right, Backlash then. It started with the tag team match. Kevin Owens, Randy Orton versus The Bloodline. And they've not done it for a while, but they started off with the whole brawl in the ring before the bell went. And instead of calming it down and bringing them into the ring and saying, right, come on, let's start, we had Nick Aldis, it will have been moment in SmackDown, come out and said,
Magnus.
No, I'm not putting up with any of this. Let's just have a street fight. And for that point on then, Dan, for about 5 minutes, and I think I messaged the guys on the chat, I said, I already don't like this. This is already a mess. It's not started off well, and I'm slightly bored already. And you were like, no, it's entertaining. It'll get better and whatnot. And it did. I thought it was a brilliant match.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and really good ending as well with the what's his name who came out from under the ring, and the referee almost missed his spot. The referee had to drag himself out. He almost botched the referee spot.
Well, yeah. Everybody was expecting Jacob Fatu, weren't they?
Yeah, they were definitely expecting one of the other Bloodline members. But yeah, it's nice to see Talanoa there. I will say, don't say too much about Talanoa because the quiz is on him at the end. So if you know some facts about him, I would keep them to yourselves.
Well, guess what?
What he's saying is we can wiki him now.
Yeah,
you can tell he is. That's what the pause was then. Tangaloa.
If anybody hasn't seen the video, I think Botchamania may have posted it since, but it's doing its rounds on social media. Right at the end, Tangaloa comes out from under the ring to pull the ref out, but the ref gets to two and he's still not get out of the ring yet. So the ref almost throws himself out of the ring, rolls out of the ring just as Tangaloa comes out from the ring. If you see it from the TV angle, it looks completely fine. But yeah, on the social media camera, on the cameras that people have done on their phones, it was a bit of a botch. But it was an enjoyable match, Joe.
Yeah, as I said, it was a very predictable match. Like, Kevin Owens came out.
Was it a predictable match, though? Because Daniel went with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens to win.
Well, yeah, because it wouldn't be a really good wrestling podcast if all of us were predicting exactly the same thing every single pay-per-view.
Points.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, when you listen to something, you want to hear both sides. What could happen here? What could go happen? Yeah, it was quite predictable, but what if this happened? This could be a cool idea if it goes that way. If we're all going, yeah, it's very predictable, it's going to go this way. Who wants to hear that? It's always nice to have something a little bit different, isn't it? So it's always nice to have a bit of change, you know, different scoops of ice cream and all that.
I do like chocolate.
Yeah. Sorry, Karen Joe, likes vanilla. You were saying, sorry, Joe, about the match.
So when Kevin Owens came out, he got quite a low pop, but Randy Orton's pop was absolutely massive. Like, they literally, the entire crowd knew Randy Orton's theme song word for word. It reminded me a bit like when Edge came out, Clash of the Castle, when everyone sang like Metalingus word for word. It was exactly the same, but I think because it was such a small arena, it was like 10 times louder. And even Randy Orton was like surprised by like how loud it was. But yeah, it was a decent match. It kind of like ruined like my prediction of like person coming out. Like I said, pretty much what was going to happen. But we all said it was going to be Jacob Fatu, not Talanoa. But still, you know, we is another member of the Bloodline. But yeah, it was a decent match. I thought it was fun.
You have to say though, Dan, even though you went with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, for the purpose of the story, it was right for the Bloodline to win.
No, I think it is, and it's going to be that thing now. Every time that there's going to be another match, so what, you know, who else is going to come out? Is the third brother going to come out? Is Jacob Fatu going to come out? Is, you know, so, you know, Ava from NXT going to come and do something? Like, you just don't know who's going to turn up at each bit. But I do like where they're going with it. I just hope that they, you know, strongly build them. I think we've seen that Tama Tonga's in the King of the Ring tournament on SmackDown this week, so it's good that they are actually using them. You know, they are getting reactions. It's making SmackDown messy, you know. It's instead of it just being solo going, yeah, I'm going to go for the US title, it's actually being a little bit more interesting. You know, we might see the brothers go for the tag titles. You know, they're former seven-time tag team champions in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so anything's possible. But yeah, love it. Yeah, okay, I wanted to see KO and Randy win, but it's called the Bloodline one. You know, Solo hasn't won much over the past year or so since facing John Cena, so it is nice to see. It is a good direction that they're going.
I think they said with Tangaloa as well, I read online, he was still contracted to New Japan up until last week, so his contract must have literally finished. Nobody knew it had ended, and then they just snapped him up and signed him up. So it was a big surprise in regards to that, but we must soon be seeing Jacob Fatu soon, surely.
I would have thought so. I mean, he's trained by Booker T, you know, he's agile, he's very similar to like Yumanga. So I don't see why not. And there's so many other people that they could be bringing in, people coming out the woodwork. I mean, even Samoa Joe, he might even quit AEW and move on back over with on back on the proper brand. Who knows what's going to happen?
We'll see. Right. The second match then, Joe, was Bayley retaining the WWE Women's Championship in a triple threat match with Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. Now, I'll bring this to your attention, and Jamie, just in case he hasn't seen it, the tweet from everybody's favourite reputable wrestling journalist, Dave Meltzer, who rates every Kenny Omega match 27 stars, tweeted out, Bayley retains pinning Naomi. Tiffany Stratton was fantastic here. She has the potential of being the best in-ring woman wrestler ever from the US. That was one of the two best WWE women's matches this year. So, well, I suppose Dan and Joe, since you two watched it, I'll put it to you. Is Uncle Dave right? Does Tiffany Stratton have the potential of being the best in-ring woman wrestler ever from the US?
Yeah. I mean, it's up there. There's so many people that you could put in that category. She has a great character. She's really good on the microphone. Incredible in the ring. You know, it's very good prospects. And that great is the prettiest moonsault ever when she does that on 2-3 opponents. The crowd are right behind her. She knows exactly what she's doing. She does have the longevity. So there's a potential. I think it's one of those ones you need to put a lot of pressure on a rock to make a diamond. And I think with Tiffany Stratton, we've only just scratched the surface, to be honest.
Fair enough. What did you think of the match, Joe?
Yeah, it was all right. There was a lot. It was quite spot festy in time. There was like one bit where they were like, did like an Alabama slam and they did like into a cartwheel and, but yeah, it was a decent match. The ending I thought was quite good, whereas like Naomi and Bayley like kept trying to like school deal each other, like they kept going back and forth, then Bayley like ultimately then like hang on for longer. So it was a decent match. Again, all of my notes the entire show is the crowd. The match was okay, the crowd made it better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, but it was still entertaining. I did think it was a very good match, a very good women's championship match. And yeah, I was thoroughly sports entertained. We then had the singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship of the World with Damian Priest against Jey Uso, Dan. Another decent, solid match with great audience participation, which led to Damian Priest retaining, but also some potential dissension in the ranks in the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I mean, they saw in the dark match after SmackDown, like the crowd were going nuts for Jey Uso, you know, popping the lights. They were going absolutely nuts. And then when they had the same at Backlash, the crowd were right behind it. Damian Priest is such a good heel champion as well. But yeah, this sort of like, no, I want to do this on my own. Some bits of it is like, okay, Damian Priest is a heel. So if his stable, who are behind him, are helping him to win, well, that's a heel thing to do. It's a bad guy move. For him to go, no, I want to be a credible champion and I want to show that I can do it on my own. Okay, fair enough to a degree, I get it, but you're a heel and that's a bad guy reaction. You know, you're not a face, you're not appealing to the crowd. So why are you saying, no, I don't want your help? And then on Raw, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, guys, I overreacted. Is the only you can say that Finn Balor and JD McDonough are looking to beat him up and potentially looking to take that title off him. So yeah, the cracks are forming with it. I think eventually we are going to be seeing like a Finn Balor Damian Priest angle. Maybe it'll be a Clash at the Castle, if not sooner. But all in all, good match, solid match. Jey Uso is over. Really good merch seller. And the crowd absolutely love him at the moment. So, brilliant. It's exactly what we needed, but it's exactly the result that we all expected as well.
I thought they booked it quite well, Joe, to the point where even though we knew Damien was going to retain, there was parts towards the end of that match where I thought, my God, they're not going to get him, let him drop the title already. There were some quite close moments. It was quite booked quite well, rather, in that respect.
Yeah, it was a really close match. And obviously, Jey Uso was getting his, like, I think he was, like, uppercuts in and, like, the crowd going yeet. And then Damien Priest was hitting the back and they were going no yeet. Again, that entrance of Jey Uso where they were all, like, bouncing up and down with, the flashlights on was, like, absolutely incredible.
Flashlights?
I think torches on. Flashlights for American listeners. They were bouncing up and down. Yeah, it was a really good match. It was really close. And obviously, as Dan said, it was the heelish thing to do where, oh yeah, the Judgment Day kind of have to interfere to help Damian Priest to win. But then obviously Damian Priest is like, oh no, I don't need your help. I'm trying to cement my legacy as champion. I shouldn't need help beating Jey Uso. Obviously, Finn Balor and JD weren't going to take that. They weren't going to take any chances, so they were going to help him.
Good shout. Right. We have to talk about the next match, however, and Jamie, not watching the show, won't know too much about what's going on here. Cody, but we had the Women's Tag Team Championship
match.
Where Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill were successful in defeating the Kabuki Warriors, and we have new champions. However, Dan, the match is... I had a different opinion to it as to some people, and I think to yourselves, and I was talking to a couple of people as well, who were like, oh, the match wasn't great from beginning to end. I didn't mind the match to start with. I thought, they're protecting Jade Cargill by having Bianca Belair start. We know why she's in a tag match, because she's still quite green, and hence the reason she's won the title. So her next matches for however many weeks or months will be tag matches primarily to keep her learning in the ring, but to keep her away from singles competition. And I thought the match was going quite well, better than what some people had said, and I didn't mind it. But there was a moment in the match where there was quite clearly a ref botch, and I'd advise anybody to go back and look at it if they haven't, Jamie self as well. There was a moment where Io Sky went to, I can't remember.
Was it Bianca Belair? Kairi Sane. Sorry, was in the ring with Bianca Belair.
Io Sky, you know what I mean.
Went to the sky.
But went to go and pin Bianca Belair, and she was the legal person. And the referee said, quite clearly and audible, enough for everyone to hear, no, Kairi, you're not the legal woman. You can't. And Kairi kind of like looked at him and was like, what? And then they carried on wrestling. But by that point, she was legal, so he should have countered. That threw everybody off. It definitely threw Jade Cargill off, because you could tell then she looked like a deer in headlights and didn't know what to do for the rest of the match. But then it just threw everybody off. And I don't get what that ref botch was all about. Now, I know that going back a few years ago, they kind of had this rule, I think, that Vince brought in, where he basically said, I think for a period, they weren't telling the referees who was going to win to try and make it look more realistic. Now, I'm sure they've gone back to, they know what the decision's going to be, because they're calling audibles all the time. Yeah. But I'm wondering if there's still an element of realism to it, where they're saying, no, referee, like, it will be a real match. And I think he might have genuinely thought there'd been a tag or forgotten about it. And that Asuka was the legal person. But because he said that when she was legal and he should have countered, it just threw everybody off. And from that point then, yeah, damn, the match kind of fell apart, to put it loosely.
It was all over the shop, and like, Asuka was stood in the corner and the ref went, you're legal, why are you standing on the apron? And Asuka was just getting him like, what the hell you want about your mom? And then Kairi came over, and then they tagged, and then they tagged again and just did the spot again. It was like a spot where they're in the corner, going for the pin in the corner, but there's a kick out of two. But in the kick out, she grabs the arm and puts her in an armbar, only for Jade to come in and put Asuka in an armbar as well. It's for them both then to do the final sequence, the same moves. One does a KOD, the other one does the glam slam. And then they go for the pin. So they have the synchronicity and they both look exactly the same. You could see the spot that they were going for, but the referee should just let it go. I think it drew more attention to bad refereeing than it drew to people blaming Jade, saying, oh no, Jade looked really bad. She's really green. She shouldn't have been called up. But I think, I beg to differ. I think that she actually performed really well. She looked really strong.
She looked great. Don't get me wrong. In the bit she was doing, she looked great. And she looks great as well. Do you know what I mean? She's the presence that she's got in the ring. Once she, you know, has a few more months under her belt, she'll be phenomenal. I've got no, she'll be AJ Styles too. But at the moment, she just needs to work on it.
Definitely.
Main event time then, Joe. Perhaps the most predictable match of the evening. The undisputed WWE Championship on the line and successfully defended by Cody Rhodes against AJ Styles. And of course, at the end of the match, no shenanigans, no uncle, hello, no this, that, the other. It was just, yes, I'm the winner. Thanks very much. Have a good evening.
Yeah, this was a very, very good match. As we said, like on paper, we're just like, yeah, Cody's going to win. It'll be an all right match. But I think this was more than all right. I thought this was a very, very good match. And even though AJ is supposed to be the heel, like France popped large, huge for him. Like as Dan said, every time they said phenomenal, they had this football chat where it's basically like, he is phenomenal, la, 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 but obviously in French. So every time, so they kept like singing that in AJ Styles, so they were going mad for AJ Styles. And then obviously Cody comes out to Kingdom. And then before Samantha Irving can like announce them, like I say, good like 2 minutes after Cody's song stops, the entire crowd finished the song, and then Samantha Irving did the announcement. So I thought this was wicked. And also as well, a nod to the past, AJ Styles was wearing the same gear as he faced Dusty Rhodes with for the NWA title. So it's like a black and purple outfit. So I thought that was a nice touch. So yeah, I thought this was way better than I expected it to be. So I really enjoyed it.
Happy with the match, Dan?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's probably going to be better than Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, to be honest. I rated 8-9 stars. I thought everything that you wanted and more. The commentary was amazing. The in-ringery was great. The different types of mat base and aerial styles, really, really good. You know, at some points you thought, oh, AJ's really going to do this. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think for a first title defence, worked out really well. In the press conference afterwards, you know, he's throwing some names out there. He wants to face like the Randy Orton's of the world, R-Truth's of the world. So let's see where he goes from here.
Lovely. And yeah, just to highlight what everybody said then about the event overall, brilliant crowd, well into it. I think some of them got warnings on their like Apple Watches about the decibels of the noise in the arena itself being dangerously loud. They didn't stop from start to finish either, which was, you know, really a lot of crowds. Speaking of clowns, that quality sign that was in the crowd, bring back heel doink. Yes, bring him back. No one knows why that crowd sign was in the crowd, but a lot of crowds were either start off hot and then die down towards the end. They were shit hot all the way through. So yeah, fair play to them. Very good. And definitely making their stance for an event to return there soon. I was half surprised seeing it and attend and say, I'm here to bring WrestleMania to France. That was the only thing that was missing. What would you rate it then? I think I would give it a very, very solid B.
I'd give it a B. I think B is really fair. Yeah. I think without the crowd, it would have been like a C+. But I think with the crowd made it. You go back just to listen to the crowd, and it gives you a good argument to more shows going over to France, you know, big shows going over there, more European shows, which is great. It's great for Europe. And it means that they can make more money because they can charge ridiculous prices.
What's your rating, Joe?
Same B.
B. Jamie, there you go. You've heard the verdict. A B all round. It's worth watching. Probably a better show than AEW Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Don't be so stupid.
What? It's definitely worth watching just for the crowd. I would
say. You watched Dynasty?
lockdown.
Absolutely not. I haven't had time. When have I had time? I've been in Comic-Con Liverpool, London. You know, I've been on the train and I haven't got VPN access. See, we've all got the same excuses.
I mean, at least AEW, I can watch that on the UK because I have Triller. But
oh, ITV4, I watch it on that.
ITV4, you can watch it for free. But I'm talking about the PLEs.
They don't call them PLEs, though, do they?
No, they call them pay-per-views. But I meant like PLEs for WWE as well. But just talking about it, just very, very briefly, just because I have to. Because you wanted it, you went, you know what, you got your rod out, you went, I'm going to put some bait on, I'm going to throw it into the water, he says. So, you know what, I'm going to nibble a little bit in terms of the Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles and Meltzer comment, was that even you couldn't even say that with a straight face.
Well, at least nobody got injured.
True. No one got injured.
They're always getting injured in that AEW, aren't they?
And I don't think Dave Meltzer has put his star ratings out for Backlash yet, but he will be giving the crowd
10 to wait a while now.
Yeah, he'll be giving Tiffany Stratton 20 stars. We've already established that. So he's happy enough. He's happy enough. And then, I mean, Raw as well this week, of course, we, you know, straight into it. We had Damian Priest, first of all, coming out, and he was apologising to the way he acted to Finn Balor. Specifically, JD McDonagh, yeah, very much. I didn't mean it, and you know, just cementing things, keeping things going, to kick off Raw. And then, yeah, it was all very, very, as you can imagine, King and Queen of the Ring centric as far as the qualifying matches. I said before, I don't like the qualifying matches being on TV. I much prefer King of the Ring when it was the full tournament, but I know we're a long way past that. But especially when I don't think they're even having the semi finals, are they? King and Queen of the Ring. It's literally just the final matches.
So if you remember last time, it was because we did predictions and we had to predict out of the four people in each one who was going to win. And I predicted Xavier Woods would win the last King of the Ring, just throwing that out there. They usually do the semi-finals, so they have to wrestle two matches.
But I think they've already said it's just the final.
We'll have to wait and see.
There's
a contender that Ilya Dragunov versus Ricochet is one of the matches of the year. Apparently, it is an absolute barn burner.
Have you not watched?
No, unfortunately, I've been absolutely manic. We've got about an hour in at the moment, but I'm going to watch the rest of it now.
He's been on the train. He's been on this. I watched Raw whilst I was working.
Oh, wow. You're in a roll.
I know. It was a very good match. I was slightly disappointed that we didn't get Kofi Kingston and Rey Mysterio. Kofi Kingston or Ston, depending which graphic designer for WWE has put out the graphics card this week. They've announced that match and one of the women's matches, Shayna Baszler and... Oh, I can't remember. That's it. Former Queen of the Ring winner.
Queen's Crown winner, actually.
Same thing.
They just want us all to forget that they named it something completely different.
They call it that, yeah. Well, those two matches are happening at a WWE live event this weekend. So
anything can happen at a WWE live event.
It can, apart from one of the world titles changing hands, unless you're Diesel and it's 1996.
We were in the Cardiff International Arena, the CIA, and the Cruiserweight title had to change hands because Chavo Guerrero botched. He fell out of the ring by accident in the Battle Royal. So they had to give it to somebody else.
They're like,
we're going to restart it, but we're just going to put the champion back in. Because he's the champion, right? Well, that makes no sense. He got eliminated halfway through the match. But okay.
Absolutely fantastic. We'll see what happens with it. I prefer it all to be at the event itself. But anyway, yeah.
Are you going to stay up and watch it?
I assume it starts probably at... When did the Saudi show start?
They usually start at 7, don't they?
7?
7 till 10, so, usually.
Yes, I
won't.
It's
too late at that time.
Too late for you. Yeah, you'll probably be in London.
When is it again?
I'm not
sure. End of the
month.
3 weeks. Whitsun sort of thing, I think.
Well, when you say 3 weeks, is it like the 26th? Is it the 25th?
It's the 25th.
What, it's Whitsun weekend.
So literally the 25th we have...
Here we go.
Because you know what the 26th is, don't you?
Here we go.
Taco and tequila.
AEW, Double or Nothing. What a weekend.
What a time to be alive. And you know what else is on that Monday?
It's Bank Holiday Monday.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, well, no, that's quite good. I'm happy enough with that.
We're off to a place called The Depot in Cardiff, and they've got Taco and Tequila with the mariachi band and Attack Pro Wrestling, wrestling in the middle.
But we have Mercedes Moné making her AEW debut, and I can't wait.
Moné. You can't wait?
No, I literally can wait. And I hopefully Willow destroys her, but that won't happen.
Am I right in saying Swerve Strickland is defending the title against Christian Cage at Double or Nothing? So
who's
Go on, Tom.
What are you gonna say? Go on.
I was just gonna go. We've got Swerve Strickland defending the world title against Christian Cage in the main event of Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
So Christian Cage, who was Grapplecast Wrestler of the Year last year.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm very much looking forward to that match, and it will be a cracker.
It will be. Don't you worry. And they've built it up for like...
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, why is a 50-year-old man in the main...
Storyline-wise, if you watch AEW, literally, he came out and beat Swerve Strickland, said, I remember what you did to my son, Nick Cage.
He's dead. Yeah. Someone's father's probably dead.
Nick Wayne. He doesn't even know. I remember what you did to my son, Nick Wayne, because he went up and beat him up in his gym during that storyline with Darby Allin. So, yeah, he was like, I will take your title. And yes, I'm sure this week on Dynamite, we're going to get something about Swerve's dad. And then as well, he punched Prince Nana. He got punched. The dream is
over. He can't do that dance anymore.
See, nobody, even if Joe's doing it, he loves
nobody
it.
Nobody should be doing that dance. It should be banned.
Swerve.
Any more wrestling grapple talk before Joe's quiz? Anyone wants to have a chat about on this wonderful evening?
I tell you what, I've been watching quite recently because he absolutely loves it. Is Eric Bischoff's Wise Choices and 83 Weeks on YouTube and Spotify. He just rips into everything, and it's a really good watch. He hates AEW, he hates Tony Khan, and it's just funny watching his video, just literally shit all over it. And then they'll talk about the draft as well, talk about how they could have made that better and stuff. It was quite an interesting watch, so that's my new weekly thing, just watching some Bischoff, because I love him anyway.
I mean, that's why I listen to Jim Cornette. It sounds exactly the same, just with Jim Cornette instead of...
I listen to Grapplecast show.
I try to. I mean, Jamie does on the train.
To be fair, I might go to London again this weekend because Lucy Jones is performing on Sunday.
Oh my Lord.
Do you remember when Joe met the guy from Gorilla Position in the toy shop?
Yeah. I know you.
You're James... D-Lo or something.
You're that James D-Lo, aren't you? Yes, I am. I like your podcast.
So did it come back in the end then? Because I know he's
back now. Yeah,
is it back as a weekly show?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, it's
official WWE podcast.
I used to listen to it I listened to it from the beginning, and then I listened to it when it him and was it somebody called Skillet or someone on it?
Yeah, Skillet. Yeah.
And then I assume he doesn't do it anymore.
No, he. Skillet does it, Mostyn, Kevin Clifton from Strictly does it.
Good old Kevin from Grimsby.
Kevin Clifton from Strictly's on there as well.
Yeah, he's a massive wrestling fan.
So whatever happened to Skillet?
He still does it, but it's like every other week, it's like, what do you call it?
He's still on it. He's still on it then, Skillet. He's just every other week. Fair enough. Okay. Right, let's quiz it then. What have you got for us, Joe?
I've got a quiz on the newly debuting Tamaloa. So it's facts and questions about Tamaloa.
Just before you move on to that, I've just completely forgot the fact that we did predict Backlash, so we do have points to give out.
You all get 5 points and I get
one, two, three,
You get a point. Everyone gets 5 points except Dan.
So it puts me on 29, Jamie on 28. Joe on 27, and it puts Dan on 26. 29, 28, 29. There's just one point in each. There we go. Brilliant. It was a B plus. It was a B plus player. B.
It wasn't. It's a B.
Thereabouts. Well, thereabout, yeah. A B player. Sorry, Joe. Carry on.
As I said, it's on the newly debuting Tanaloa. So, question number one. Tanaloa was previously in the WWE from 2011 to 2014, but what was his ring name?
This will be the only question I get right.
It's not as hard as you think. Question number two. Tanaloa tagged with somebody in his first WWE run in 2011 to 2013. Who did he tag with?
Oh, okay. Now I get two right then.
Question number three. Who is Tanaloa's famous father?
Adopted father.
Yeah, adopted father.
Okay, and go. Is his father dead?
Yes, he is, Jamie. You put someone who's dead.
Question number five. What was Tanaloa's ring name in TNA? If he was in TNA, what was his ring name in TNA?
God, I didn't even know he was in TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number six. In TNA, he had a
six,
faction.
It should be five.
Five, yeah. It should be number five now.
Yeah, number five. In TNA, he was in a faction. Can you tell me the name of the faction and who were the two members of the faction?
How many points?
Three. So name for the faction and I'll tell you what, I'll give you a point each for a member of the faction as well. So 3 points. Name of the faction and the two members.
Yeah, that'll do. I mean, it's
Number six. Tanaloa has an adopted brother in the WWE. What's his brother's name?
Yeah.
In the WWE?
In the WWE, he has an adopted brother. What's his brother's name? So he's signed in the WWE. He has an adopted brother. What's his adopted brother's name?
Yeah. Next.
Number seven. What tag team was Tanaloa part of in New Japan? He was part of a very famous tag team in New Japan. What was that tag team's? What was the name of the tag team?
Will you allow the is abbreviation the right word the or what is that? The acronym, yeah, because I can't remember what it stands for.
Half a point for the acronym, I think.
Half a point.
If you don't know well, I'll give you the acronym, it's fine.
Oh, okay, good, because I can't remember what it's called.
The NWO. Woo.
What does the Tanaloa name come from? So I'll give you a clue. It's something to do with the Tongans, but where does it come from? What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, so it comes from the Tonga. So it comes from the island of Tonga, but what does it mean, the Tanaloa?
Oh, I don't know.
It's something to do with the island of Tonga. That's the clue I'm going to give you.
Oh, I don't know.
Question number nine. How old is Tanaloa? And question number 10, should be nice and easy because Dan mentioned it earlier. How many times has Tanaloa won the New Japan Tag Team belts?
Oh, if you mentioned it before, Dan, I have no idea.
He mentioned it earlier.
That'll do.
Okay, do you want me to repeat anything or...?
No, I've got Jamie needs you to repeat them all. He hasn't got a clue.
What about that one with Gunther's stable on the
Indies? Hey, we knew that were coming.
Okay, I'll go through the answers then. Question number one, what was Tama Lunga's ring name in his first run in WWE from 2011 to 2014? Jamie.
Sangha.
Karen.
Camacho.
Dan.
No one knows who that is.
Camacho.
It's Camacho, yeah.
I love a Wikipedia.
You will
search.
No, you will remember that. Why? If you Google them, no, because you'll know who his tag team partner was now, and then you'll remember.
Ain't got a clue.
They used to come out on little bicycles.
Yeah,
yeah, I definitely didn't watch that.
Have you seen that clip where Kofi Kingston's eliminated for the Royal Rumble, but he handstands, and then he handstands all the way over to the steps
every year?
No, that one, the spot where he's doing his handstands, and then
he puts his feet on the and he puts his feet on.
And if you look in the background, you can see Camacho there with his arms folded and sunglasses on in the background.
Terrible. He used to come out on about, it was like 2008-09 era, I think.
2011.
Then his tag team partner's Maui for Moana.
No, but you're not far off.
Taryn?
Oh, sorry. Was it not Unico?
Yes, Unico.
Unico or Sin Cara number two, yeah.
Yeah.
I know Unico. I know his name.
Yeah, well, he was his tag team partner. Who became Sin Cara two.
Sin Cara number two, yeah. Question number three, nice and easy. Who is Tagaloa's father, adopted father? Parent.
Haku.
Dan. Haku.
Yeah, I got one. Haku, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. Question number four. What was his ring name in TNA? Jamie.
Shark Boy.
Curry Man.
Karen.
If he was called Camacho in WWE, he must have been called K-Macho with a K in TNA.
Dan?
Micah.
Micah is correct.
Mika.
I was like, if Taryn got that right, he definitely would.
No, I have not.
I posted during the event a screenshot which answers the next thing of the stable he was in, and it said their names on the picture I put on our Grapple Chat group chat. If you actually paid attention and saw that, the answer was there.
Was that when I muted it because I was in London and you told me to mute the chat?
Probably.
Then I don't think this is fair.
Okay, next question. He had a faction in TNA. Can you name the faction? And for an extra 2 points, can you tell me who are the members of that faction, Taryn?
No, I can't. I put Bullet Club and I put Bruce and Springsteen.
Jamie.
Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, lads with a Z.
Dad.
So it was with Drew Galloway, also known as Drew McIntyre, and it was with Eli Drake, also known as LA Knight, and they were known as The Rising.
That was close.
3 points.
Was it Rising with a Z?
Yeah.
No.
Rising with S. And if you guys want to go back and have a look in our Grapple Chat Crash group chat, you can see the picture that tells you the answer. And
it was muted.
Oh, you can go back and see it.
Next question, nice and easy. Who is Tama Lowe's adopted brother, Jamie?
Tama Tonga.
Karen.
Eugene. I don't know.
To clarify, Joe, you said currently in the WWE, yeah?
Yeah.
Good, because he's got two brothers. One of them is Hukaleo, who's been in, is still in Japan.
WWE, yeah.
But if it's WWE, it's Tama Tonga.
Yes, Tama Tonga is his
Evil. I knew Tama Tonga was his brother. I thought you meant somebody else.
I did specify
he's currently signed for the WWE, Taryn, if you listened.
You are right. It's not my fault, listen. I just thought you must have meant somebody else. But anyway.
And his other brother is Hukaleo. And Hukaleo
I wouldn't have known that.
AEW and TNA and all sorts.
I've never been good on the Hukaleo.
No, neither have I. I'm not too bad on the harmonica.
Question number seven. What tag team was Tama Lower part of in New Japan?
Gorillas of Destiny.
I think it's like G-O-D, like God, but I don't know what it stands for.
It stands for Gorillas of Destiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah, I had Gorillas of Destiny.
No, he did not. No, I had Wolf.
I had Wolf.
Yeah, it was Gorillas of Destiny.
Do I get a point for that?
For Wolf.
Yeah, God, it's fine, yeah. I'm not going to be too harsh.
Lovely.
Question 8, a bit of a harder one. Where does the Tamaloa name come from? And I gave you a clue, it's to do with the island of Tonga. Dan?
It's Tonga mythology. It's a group of gods. So it's the main lead god or the gods in Tongan mythology.
Jamie?
Originally, I put pride, and then you said something about Tonga, so I went for leafy.
Cameron?
Yeah, I don't know. I put, like, water or the sea or the shoreline.
There's a light in the sky and a fire when you find me.
It's basically Moana, yeah.
That is correct. It's gods. It's a group of gods from Tonga.
God,
mythology.
That's two
that's
gods
why
he's
the
got
fact
in there.
It was called God.
Well,
it's
I need a dog.
It's all Willis at a place now, you see.
Well, I knew the dog before he came to class.
Papa, do not go.
I did.
Question okay. Number 9. How old is Tangaloa, Taran?
39.
Oh!
Maybe.
I went for 34.
And?
40.
You're wrong, he's 41.
Oh.
Question 10. How many times has Tamaloa won the New Japan Tag Team belts? Jamie?
3.
Taran?
4.
I know Dan knows this. Go on, Dan.
Yeah, because I said it during the podcast at 7.
Yeah, 7. 7-time New Japan World Tag Team
well,
belts.
Well, there we go. I think Dan might have. I got 4 points.
Go on, Jamie. What'd you get?
Well, I got 2. Haku in Tamatonga, what a time to be alive.
I got 11.
I should have had 5 if I'd have put Tamatonga.
Oh, it still wouldn't have helped.
No, it would have done. Dan gets the point. That puts him on 4. So Jamie's on 5, Dan's on 4, I'm on 3, Joe's on 1. Dan, it should be your turn next week, should it not now?
I think so, yeah. Randomly, because I'm watching the Eurovision semi-finals, Croatia have an act called Baby Lasagna.
Yes.
Like they're going to make it through.
Baby Lasagna.
They will they're make it get through that name, believe me.
Baby Lasagna.
Joe, where can everybody find us on the socials?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. We are at Grapplecast Show. Don't forget to follow us, like us, and all that jazz. You can also find us on all the good podcasting networks. You can find us on Apple Music. You can find us on Spotify. Don't forget to like and subscribe on that and follow us and give us a 5-star rating as well. We appreciate it.
Yes, do please. Any more for any more people?
Yeah,
wave your
Henry song.
Hands from side right. To side.
I can't listen to that anymore. There's a reason it didn't get to number one. Sign us off, Jamie. And with the proper sign off, don't sing this song.
I mean, I was going to throw it in there somehow, but I guess without further ado, I bid you a goodbye, a good night, and watch for the shoe.
Ta-ra, guys. Jamie!